Well, over the next 2 weeks, we are settling into a little mini series on finding rest in Jesus as we do life with him. And I have the pleasure today of walking us through a much loved scripture that we find in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus invites us into a well-fitting fellowship with him, with the promise of rest for our souls. Well-fitting, perfectly fitting. It's good when something fits really well, isn't it? Let me tell you the story of my kitchen. Thanks, Abatha. When we bought our home about nine years ago, we definitely did not buy it because of this kitchen that was in it. I have a sense that when we're looking at the kitchen and walking through the open home, I have a sense that this kitchen is not a well-fitted out kitchen. And within a few days of moving into our home, my hunch is right, and I soon feel worn out by working in this kitchen. See, the problem is that all the functional elements of the kitchen are in that one corner that you can see over here. So there's one PowerPoint accessible in the kitchen for the toaster, for the kettle, for anything else that needs plugging in, and that's in that corner. And also in that corner is the dishwasher, which is also in the same corner as the sink, which you can't see, which is also in the same corner as the stove, which is also in the same corner as that double cupboard, which is the biggest cupboard, but it's really hard to access, especially when you open the dishwasher because it completely shuts off the cupboard door. So the whole kitchen is hard work. So my time in the kitchen is spent moving one thing out of that corner to make room for the next thing in that corner, to make room for the next thing. And sometimes there's five of us in the corner trying to do our thing. There's no easy rhythm in this kitchen. I'm sort of forcing to make things work all the time. So within 2 weeks of living in the home, I declare this kitchen is a burden. I have had enough of it. And thankfully, at the time, Catherine Forster, who fellowships with us here, she's working for a kitchen company. She hears about my kitchen burdens and she says, come and sit with my kitchen designer and let us see if he can help you with your kitchen burdens. And this kitchen company designer, he gives us his wisdom on how to make the kitchen a better fit for the space, how to make it a better fit for our family. And a few months later, we have a new kitchen. And yay, all our kitchen burdens are lifted. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's right. The designer has taken the load off that corner. We have PowerPoints in other places for the kettle. That big corner cupboard is now transformed. Thanks, Abatha. Next picture. The big corner cupboard now has this pulley-outy, slidey-outy mechanism thing so we can actually access the full corner cupboard. Everything is now well-fitted for our needs. It's still a place of work in the kitchen, but it's easier work. There's a rhythm in the space. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And we're going to hear some wonderfully kind words from Jesus over us this morning. He says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want us to hear these verses today like a nice deep breath into our very being. The great preacher of old, and when I say old, I mean hundreds of years ago, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he says this of this scripture, "This promise has cheered and encouraged tens of thousands. Its shallows are cool and refreshing, but in its depths are pearls for which we hope to dive." Let me pray before we get into the word. Lord, thank you for your word, that it is life, it is light, it is refreshing always when we open it. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to bring refreshing upon the brothers and sisters here today. And maybe also we'll find some depths, the things that you want us to hear and receive for our own lives. Amen. Get a drink. So let's just get into the context before we dig into these three verses. The context of where we find these verses in Scripture. They're only found in Matthew's Gospel, interestingly. But they sit in the midst of two chapters of rebuke. These beautiful words sit in the middle of rebuke. In chapter 11, Jesus rebukes whole cities of people because of their unbelief in him. And then in chapter 12, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, the religious leaders, for the burdens that they heap on people instead of showing compassion. So at one end, we have people who are living in their own self-sufficiency and their own self-wisdom. At the other end, we have people who are really trying hard to earn their way to God. And it's in the midst of this that Jesus says, right before these verses, he says, I'm the only one who knows the Father. I'm the one who knows God. I'm the only way to God. And I will reveal him to anyone who will humble themselves and trust in me. So it's in this context that we read these kind words from Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. You might be that side in unbelief. You might be that side in trying really hard in religion. Come with me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Deep breath, deep breath. We're going to settle into these three verses now, and we're going to look at them in three parts as an invitation from Jesus. Come to me, learn from me, and find rest in me. I hope that you feel the kindness of Jesus upon you this morning. First part, come to me. Just hear this simple, personal invitation from Jesus. Come to me. One commentator says there are few texts more striking in Scripture that contain so wide and sweeping an invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying a heavy burden. The Message translation says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Jesus' heart is for all who need relief, all who are wearied with life's burdens. Let's get a feel for this word all. It's for all who are burdened with wrong understandings of God, or who are trying to earn their way to him some way, or who are burnt out serving and ministering in ways that are ill-fitted for them. It's for all who are searching for the truth, who are weary from living on human wisdom alone. It's for all who are weary from just life's responsibilities and expectations. It's for all who are tired of doing things just for themselves, out of self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-ambition, self-promotion, greed. Doing things for self actually tires us out. It's for all who are weighed down by sin. And then the outworking of sin, we know, is regret, is shame, is guilt. It's for all who are exhausted from sorrow or disappointment or oppression or poverty. It's for all who are feeling anxious under the weight of the world and all the things that are going on in our world at the moment. Are you identifying with any of these burdens? Is there a weariness that is in your soul, your life, your heart? Are you getting a sense of how wide and sweeping Jesus' invitation is? I found myself thinking of the ways that sometimes we try to relieve our own burdens and fix our lives. You know, we can run around like headless chooks, can't we? Trying to save ourselves, trying to comfort ourselves or distract ourselves amidst our burdens, trying to fulfill our lives. And then we end up taking on more ill-fitting things that become more of a burden and bring more weariness. Are you seeing how this cycle can work in our lives? And Jesus invites us to turn from whatever we're presently depending on and come to him. Come to me. It's a simple invitation, isn't it? There's no strings attached. It's not come when you've got your life sorted out. Come when you've done that or achieved that. Come when you're good enough. No, it's just come as you are with your need. It's a simple invitation. And it's a personal invitation. It's not come to a religion or come to a 12-step program on how to sort life out or come to an unreachable or an untouchable God. No, Jesus says, come to me, me. And it's a present invitation. It's for now. It's for today. It's for right here. If you don't know me yet, it's an invitation to come and believe in me. Put your trust in me. Do life with me. And if you do know me already, it's an invitation to keep coming, keep coming, keep trusting. And here's the beautiful thing about this coming to Jesus. He offers himself for all that burdens us. Isn't that a beautiful good news today? I wonder if you are in a season of burden. Do you hear this kind invitation from Jesus directly to you today? He wants to care for you. He wants to care for me. And Jesus goes on and he makes this profound statement of promise and authority. He says, and I will give you rest. Who else can make a claim like that upon our lives? I will give you rest. Jesus is the only one who can give us the rest that we long for. There's a gift of rest that just comes upon us when we come to Jesus. Have you ever felt that for yourselves? Have you ever experienced it? That gift of rest that comes in those moments, the everyday moments, when we just turn our thoughts to Jesus in an everyday moment, there is a gift of rest that falls upon us. Those moments when we sit with his word open, those moments when we worship together like we've already done today, there is a gift of rest that falls in our spirit. And then those moments when we just collapse at his feet in desperation. And in those moments, there is a gift of rest that falls upon us. It's like a deep breath of rest in the midst of life, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of the things that bring weariness and burden. And as we pause and think about this gift of rest for a moment, I wonder what thoughts pop into your mind. Some of us might have already jumped to this image of rest. Maybe rest looks something like this. Maybe this is what Jesus is offering me. A holiday in Broome in the sunshine. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Yeah. Maybe he's saying he will give me a week of uninterrupted sleep. That would be my thing. Yes, please, Lord. Maybe the offer of rest here is a month off work or a break from my burdens. And maybe on a more serious level, some of us have really gone into our minds, I really hope this gift of rest means a change in my circumstance or a break from my troubles or a break from my responsibilities. And sometimes we know that Jesus does miraculously do these things. And sometimes he does send us on a holiday to Broome because that's the best thing for us. But in this instance, it's a different rest that Jesus is inviting and giving to us. It's a rest which looks a little more like this picture on the screen. Thanks, Abatha. It's a rest that looks like this. Now, hang in there. We're going to discover that this is a good rest, even though it might not look that appealing. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And we're going to move into the next part of this scripture. We've already seen Jesus' kind invitation, come to me. Now we move into his kind instruction, learn from me. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What a strange progression that we have in Jesus' words. In one breath, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest if you are weary and burdened. And then he moves into an instruction of learning and work. Take my yoke and learn. What does this mean? Is yoke a word that you use commonly in your everyday language? I certainly don't. This is probably the only context where I use the word yoke. So what does yoke mean? Its broad meaning includes learning, having influence, being in a team. It also means control, surrender, obedience, servitude. A yoke can be a physical thing, and a yoke can also have a symbolic meaning. A physical yoke is what we see in this picture here. It's a wooden implement that has been crafted to join two working animals together, like oxen, as we see in this picture, to share the load of pulling a plow or pulling a cart. The wooden yoke is crafted to perfectly fit around the neck and the head of the oxen or the animal that is being worked. A perfectly fitting yoke is more comfortable than an ill-fitting yoke that makes the work a lot harder. I wonder if Jesus, as a carpenter, is skilled at crafting well-fitting yokes for animals. It's an interesting thought to keep in our mind. Jesus knows what a well-fitting yoke looks like. Most often, the oxen are equally yoked. They share the same burden of the load. They're the same size. They work together sharing the load. But sometimes the oxen are yoked for the sake of learning. And this looks a little bit different, a bit like what we see here. There's a larger, more experienced ox who is yoked with an inexperienced, smaller ox. And this smaller ox learns how to do the work, how to do the ploughing, how to wear the yoke from the more experienced ox. Are you getting the picture here of take my yoke and learn from me? But there's also a symbolic picture of being yoked together for the sake of learning. It's hard to find a physical picture to display this, but it's also a picture of learning. And it's a student being yoked to a teacher. And I think that that's the more fitting image for this particular scripture here in Matthew 11. Jesus' listeners would have been very familiar with this concept of a student being yoked to a teacher. Because in Jewish culture, a student is yoked to a rabbi or a Pharisee for the sake of learning from that rabbi or Pharisee. They learn scripture, they learn the law, they learn the rituals and the rules that have also come with that in Jewish culture. They learn the ways of that rabbi or Pharisee. They become more like that rabbi or that Pharisee. And the yoke of the rabbis and Pharisees is a heavy load. There's so much to learn. There's so much to put on. And then we also know that the Pharisees make the yoke of the law even heavier for students and Jewish people in general. They heap man-made rules on top of things that God has instituted. You know, around the Sabbath day alone, I read that there were 600 rules of things you could not do on the Sabbath day. And this is God's day of rest, and it's become a day of burden under the yoke of the Pharisees. That's what Jesus goes on to rebuke in chapter 12. But these Pharisees also have a reputation for being prideful at times, for being self-seeking and for being impersonal. So you can almost imagine Jesus' listeners are hearing Jesus say, take my yoke upon you. And maybe the listeners might even groan and start to question, what, another yoke? What, another burden to bear? What, joined to another teacher who might be harsh? We thought you said, come and you'll give us rest, Jesus. But what we see in this scripture is that Jesus very quickly tells us about himself. He says, I am humble and gentle in heart. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the only time that we hear Jesus telling us something of his character. I am gentle and humble in heart. I am different, he's saying to his listeners. I'm a different kind of rabbi. I'm a different teacher. We broaden that out a little bit. I'm different to the world. I'm different to the person who took advantage of you. I'm different to the little g gods that are so difficult to please, etc., etc., etc. Jesus is different. I am humble and gentle. And then he says of his yoke, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I really want us to understand the meaning of this word easy in this context. It's a different easy to what we might say is easy. Easy in this scripture means good. It means helpful. It means well-fitting. Take my yoke upon you. Come under my yoke, says Jesus. It will be good for you. It will be helpful for your life, and it will be well-fitted, well-crafted just for you, because guess what? Jesus knows all about you and he knows all about me. He knows your dreams. He knows your gifts. He knows your abilities. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your struggles and he knows your circumstances. And Jesus says, come under my yoke. Take it upon you. Let's do life together. I'll lead and I'll teach as we go. It will be my wisdom that we're doing life in. It'll be my grace that we're doing life in. It'll be my way, because remember, we come under and take on Jesus' yoke. He's our teacher. And in the kindness of Jesus as our Saviour, he says, and the true burden will rest on me. When trials and responsibilities come, I'll support you from sinking. When trials come, I'll sustain you with strength and power. I'll guide you. I'll counsel you. I'll calm you and refresh you with my presence. You just lean in, lean under, trust, learn, and follow. You know, we'll always be yoked to something. Isn't that an interesting concept? We'll always be yoked to something, whether it's the world, whether it's our career, whether it's making money, whether it's a relationship. Jesus says, come under my yoke. It will be easy for you because it will be well fitted, and my burden will be light for you. Jesus' yoke is a different yoke. And the rest that he gives us, the rest that he says, I give you, is his new yoke. It's a new yoke and it's his. Well-fitted fellowship with him. That is the promise of rest. I remember my first year out of uni when I graduated from nursing. And I ended up going straight into the oncology unit at Princess Margaret Hospital. And on this ward, the cancer ward, you see some of the sickest kids in the state. And there's a weight of working in that sort of environment. You have the emotions of very distressed families at one end. You have the pressures of extremely high-tech medicine at the other end. And then you just have very sick kids all the time. And I was just reflecting the other day that I was the first graduate student to be accepted onto that ward. I was sort of like the guinea pig. Let's see how a graduate student goes in this sort of environment, see if it works. And it would have been too much to bear. But for the first few months, I'm buddied up with an experienced nurse called Rebecca. She becomes my teacher. And my job is to follow her, to watch her, to learn from her, to learn the rhythms of the ward, to learn how to care for parents, to learn how to care for children, to learn how to deliver chemotherapy, all the things that go with the job. And in God's absolute kindness, she was also a Christian. Isn't that amazing how he orchestrates these things for us, that my teacher would be someone with the same values to teach me at a different level? I think that's so kind. But here's the awesome thing. I am still working, even though I'm working with Rebecca. I'm still doing things under her watch. But Rebecca shoulders the load. She shoulders the load. She even wears the responsibility of any of my mistakes during those 3 months, because I'm actually not even counted in the nursing numbers during that time. I'm counted under Rebecca. Are you getting the picture of what Jesus is inviting us to today? Jesus is giving us this offer to each one of us. Do your whole life with me. do your whole life with me, in fellowship with me, and I will hold the load and make it an easy fit for you. Just pause for a moment. Just be overwhelmed in your own mind that Jesus would be yoked with you, that Jesus would be yoked with me, even with our messy, complicated, confusing lives, that Jesus would choose to do that. The message actually says, you'll recover your life when you come under my yoke. And then the message goes on and says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced rhythms of grace, doesn't that sound like a lovely way to do life? It sounds like a different way. Grace that becomes natural, not forced, as we do life with Jesus and become more like Jesus. I think about my new kitchen. No more forcing to make it work, but there's rhythms in the kitchen. Under Jesus' well-fitted yoke, we learn to live in his rhythms of grace. Rhythms of grace in our relationships, rhythms of grace in our gifting and serving and ministry, rhythms of grace over our responsibilities, learning to live with grace even over ourselves. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Coming under Jesus' yoke, it actually brings freedom into our lives. Even rhythms of grace when life goes off the plan and gets in trouble. You know, I've just finished reading a book about an American pastor who's pastoring in Turkey, and life goes unbelievably pear-shaped for him, and he ends up locked away in a Turkish prison for 2 years. But as I progress through the book, we read that even in that place, he finds rhythms of grace because he is yoked to Jesus. Even there in a Turkish prison, he learns from Jesus. He follows Jesus. It's not easy for him. Don't get the impression that it's easy. No, but he survives and he lives and he perseveres because he's learnt Jesus' rhythms of grace. Are you heavy burdened? Are you living under an ill-fitting yoke? Are you weary from that? The rest that Jesus gives us is a new yoke, his yoke. You know, there's a simple yet profound principle at work here. Do things our own way, in our own strength, experience less rest for our soul. Come to Jesus, learn his ways, lean into him, experience rest for our soul. And this brings us to our final part. We've had the invitation to come with me. We've had the kind instruction, learn from me. And now we see the kind promise, find rest in me. And you will find rest for your souls, we read. Have you realized that this is the second time Jesus promises rest in this scripture? Remember, the first rest we talked about is a gift that just comes upon all those who come to Jesus. Come to me, I will give you rest. The first rest is given. This second rest that we read about is found. Jesus says, and you will find rest for your soul. I love the way Charles Spurgeon, the preacher I talked about at the beginning, I love the way he describes this. He likens the two rests in this passage as a priceless treasure box. When we come to Jesus, he gives us the treasure box. It's all ours, completely ours. I will give you rest. But then as we do life with Jesus, yoked to him, learning his grace rhythms, leaning into him, becoming more like him, we find rest for our souls. It's the experience of opening the treasure box and discovering all the secret drawers and finding all the treasures that lie within. It's a lifelong journey of discovering, finding his rest in the midst of life, in the midst of serving, in the midst of the different seasons, in the midst of every struggle and every challenge. Let me just speak some words of rest from the treasure box over you as we end our time together. You might like to close your eyes and just let these words just rest over your soul and heart. Rest. I am at peace with God because of Jesus. My sin is forgiven because he shouldered the weight of my sin and shame on the cross. My debt is paid with his blood. I am covered by Jesus' righteousness. I am counted under him. Rest, deep breath. He never leaves me or forsakes me. His timing is perfect. His purposes are good. His promises are forever. His word is true. Deep breath. Rest. Jesus' yoke of grace is well fitted to my life. It's well fitted to your life. Thank you, Jesus. Deep breath. Rest. You know, this might sound a little corny, but that's okay. But when I'm standing in my kitchen, doing my work, cooking the food, whoever's in there with me, I'll just randomly and often just say, this is a good kitchen. I'm thankful for this kitchen. It's a good kitchen. And today I want you to see that Jesus' yoke is good. It's so kind. It's so good. You know, after the first service, a lot of people said, that was lovely. This is a lovely scripture, but this is a life-changing scripture. It's a life-changing scripture. It's lovely. It's refreshing. But let's dig deep and find those pearls that Charles Spurgeon talked about. It's life-changing. For those in the room that might need to come to Jesus, it'll change your life. Life won't necessarily be incredibly easy, but gee, it will be much better. It'll be good. It'll be good. For those of us who know Jesus in the room, this scripture is an invitation. Keep coming. Keep coming. Stay. Stay. Let's do life together in fellowship. Deeper and deeper. More and more. And let's discover the soul rest that I want to give you. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. May this settle in our hearts. May we cling to you more and more. You are so faithful and you're so incredibly kind to us. And we worship you now as we finish our time together. Amen.